I'm going to tell you the story of my life in the next 30 minutes. So belt down, let's do this. Like Death said, I'm going to share with you seven keys. If I can pass seven keys over to you, if I can put seven keys into your hand, I would have done my work. How have I got where I am? I tell you, born Christmas Day 1962 in Mengo Hospital, far away from here, Kampala, Uganda. That's the accent you hear. Any Kampalans and Ugandans here? I will not attempt to translate that. Okay, let me give you the 7 points so that should I fail to get through all of them, at least you have them written down. Key gifts, 7 keys to your destiny. 7 keys to your destiny. 7 keys to help you get to where where God has declared and decreed you to get. Key number one is key gifts. Key number two will be key people. Key number three will be key moments. Key number four will be key places. Then we'll talk about key insights. And then key battles. And finally, key choices. If you missed any, you'll catch up in a moment. Can we talk? If I keep it a conversation, it will be easier. So you guys are going to talk to me, yeah? So tell your neighbor, you're going to talk to him. That means you're allowed to shout, clap. You can even contribute to the sermon. You can say, Pastor, you missed out a verse. But let's talk about key gifts first. 1983 in Kampala, Uganda. I was just over 20 years old. I walked to my church. Praise and worship then was not guitars and drums, the sophisticated way here. We used an African drum. Revival broke out in Kampala, and thousands of people were coming to Christ. My family was swept into the kingdom of God. Incredible, incredible testimonies. And I just know that 2 days into that, 2 years into that, and I was a youth pastor, I just arrived at church one of these days, and I heard the sound of the guitar for the first time. Guitar. Box guitar. An older guy had brought his guitar to church, and he had a group of about 4 people, and he was teaching them a song, and I heard the guitar for the first time. I froze right there, the sound of it. I had never been to a place where a guitar is played live. I'd never seen a guitar. I'm talking about growing up in a country devastated by Idi Amin. The poverty, you could smell it in the air. The pain, the trouble. And the gospel became the hiding place for us all. So I come to church this day, and there's a sound of a guitar, and I'm saying, where is that coming from? And I had to go to the back of the church and find this guy playing the guitar. I was gone. And I invited myself to this group. I didn't wait. But you see, the sound of a guitar made something jump in me. I knew I loved music. I didn't know how deeply that was. I'm talking about key gifts. I'm standing before you today at Kensington Temple because of that day. And I'll explain in a moment. Because I refused to let Mr. Chewanula, that was his name, I refused to let him go. I told him, teach me. Lend me this guitar. It was a precious old, rickety old guitar. Some of its strings were actually electric wires stretched over because there was nowhere to buy anything in Uganda. But it was a guitar. It made the sound of a guitar. So he taught me a few chords. And as I played the guitar, something awoke inside of me. There is something inside of everybody that needs to awake. You need to find things that God put inside of you, starting at creation. By the way, it doesn't start with salvation. It starts with creation. As God was creating us, he hid inside of you abilities, capacities, passions, gifts. And they are an inside compass to the journey ahead. And some of you may be stuck in your journey. Some of you may be at junction. Some of you may be confused. Some of you may need reorientation. The way is not out there. It's in here. And the sound of that guitar awakened something in me that drums had not awakened. And as I learned a few chords and borrowed that guitar, I began to afflict my family with songs that I was writing. And I was doing solo concerts at home and raising my voice and singing. I did not know that I would sing those songs right here on the stage at KT. Because that's what happened. Because as I sang those songs, my voice awoke. And then I went to university and joined the Christian Union band. And then we sang at the Central Christian Union, and that's where I met my wife. The moral of the story, if you are looking for your wife, learn to play the guitar. Seriously, guys, I connected with a key gift. And what followed is a friend of ours who was part of that group. Some of you, some of the older guys were coming to me and saying, yeah, remember you in those days. So some of you may remember Lucy Lutara. She came to this church and talked to Pastor Wynn and Pastor Colin about us guys doing missions. We were going school to school, college to college, church to church, singing, preaching. And she told them about us, and they wrote us invitation letters. I remember receiving that letter signed by Colin Dye. 1988, I landed at Gatwick Airport. Fresh graduate, studied agriculture. They even asked me to take a seat because they're saying, what's a fresh graduate of agriculture coming to London to study the Bible for? I wanted to tell them, you know, I was hoping to grow goats and cows, but now I want to grow people. Seriously, key gifts. So it's like the sound of music and learning to sing and to play and to, it just unlocked a whole journey in which I found my wife, ended up in London. We came here for 6 months, 1988, and we never left because we found a breakout of revival here, church planting. And those of you that knew Wynn Lewis, you just had to bump into him in the corridor. He said, there is nothing to stop you from planting a church. And the journey continued. But the key beginning is key gifts. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift. Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. It doesn't say a man's prayer life. I just kicked over a sacred cow. If your prayer life does not precipitate your gifts, something is very wrong about how you're praying. Yes. Ultimately, when you talk to God, he always asks, whom shall I send? Yeah. And who will go for us? And so everything finally pours into these capacities by which God wants us to serve the world. By the way, that verse, a man's gift, is not so much about what you have, but about what you give. What you give is what opens doors for you. And so God gifts us that he may gift us. He gives us gifts that by them he may donate us to the world. So ask your neighbor for me, how have you been donated to Kensington Temple? How have you been gifted to this church? What are you doing here? I hope you are not just attending services. You are here to serve. Find your place, connect to your place, and begin to serve. God's ultimate will is to donate you to your community, to exhaust you with work, serving others. A man's gift makes room for him. If you don't give yourself away, there will never be space for you in the world. What you're seeing here is a donated man. God just took over this life. and turned me from a quiet, shy man to a man who needs a clock to stop him when he starts preaching. Amen. Somebody shout key gifts. Now, ask your neighbor, your neighbor tell you what their key gifts are? What is it you're hiding from us? What abilities have you left undeveloped? Because some of them are critical to the journey. Some of them will help you find your wife. Oh, yes. I had a loud amen right there. Some of them will help you find your husband. Yeah, I'm taking a little more time this service. God announced me to my wife before I arrived. And this was amazing. God gave her, she was at university praying. She had made a vow of celibacy. She said, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to serve the Lord the rest of my life. It took God telling her, no, you will get married. Your husband is coming to the university and his name is. And he gave her one of my names. Now there was another guy with my name. but I guess you know how things turned out. I won. He wasn't as nice looking as I. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift, Paul writes to Timothy. Because you see, you can be so separated from the things God put inside of you that they sediment and they become inaccessible. And you begin to wander around the world looking for hope. But God put the destination inside of you through gifts, abilities, and capacities. Today we stir up the gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody shout key gifts. Yes. That's point number one. Number two is key people. Key people. The journey through your life is lined by people, with people. We move from person to person. It's about relationships. And I'm standing here because of people. After you've done your degree and you have all your gifts, if you cannot engage with people, you will not get far in life. The journey through life, the journey to destiny, is about finding key people. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, we find three widows together. Ruth is one of them. And we have Naomi, who was their mother-in-law. The other lady is Orpah. Their husbands, her sons had died. And in that time in history, a widow had no opportunity, no privilege. Three widows together is a disaster. No one can help the other. It's a multiplication of problems. So Naomi is wise to turn around to say to these young women, go away from me, I'm finished. I don't have a husband. You guys don't have a husband. Go find husbands who will marry you and you get on with your life. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. These are the words Ruth said back to her mother-in-law. Entreat me not to turn from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death separates from you. Wow. This is a passage that's read at weddings because it captures the spirit of covenant making. Because, you see, Naomi has nothing. But Ruth picks up something. This is a key person. They may not have the dollar. They may not have a fancy car or a big house. But I smell destiny in this relationship. Anybody hearing me today? You should have seen me when my wife said yes to me. I had nothing to my name. But look at me now. Seriously. Friends, it's not about bank accounts. It's not about how fancy somebody is. It's about us developing a spirit of discernment that as we walk through life, we come to those critical relationships. And they may not fit perfectly. They may be weird in ways, but something tells you this is destiny. And when we find those people, we connect with them, we engage with them, we covenant with them. And some of you know some of my guys here, Pastor Tayo, Pastor Charles, Pastor Damien. We've been walking together as brothers for 30 plus years. We meet every 2 months in each other's house, and we eat everything that is edible in each other's houses during that time. And we talk until the wee hours of the morning. We are brothers. Covenant. Yeah? This is my key person right here, my wife. As long as I see her, it's going to be okay. And I've got to fight for this. Yeah? Do not push me away, she says to Naomi. Don't try to get rid of me because I'm here to stay. I know your covenant for me. I know your family. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. It moves us away from relationships of convenience and learning that when God commits us to people, sometimes we'll go through the toughest times. And some of us are too quick to unfriend. Even on Facebook, you are always deleting people and unfriending. You know, relationships have become so fragile these days because we are getting into a culture of exit. But God is a God of covenants. And I see faces here that I'm connected to. And I tell you, the journey from being a 20-something-year-old to a 61-year-old man connected to this church family, it's never easy. It's never easy staying married to the same person. Or connecting to one church and serving it and pouring your blood into that church. And everything is telling you, oh, go find some other fancy church. Oh, the other church has a larger screen. And there are more girls there. But God is saying, this is your church. Yeah, make a commitment. I'll talk about that a little more when I talk about key places. Wherever you stay, I will stay. You should have seen our first house where we were going to stay. It was one little room. Everything was in that little room. I was taking someone's daughter into a small house, but it was covenant. Some of you single guys should be married by now. You are still trying to set up a big house. Come on. Find that girl and marry her. Stop wasting time. Can I talk?
Yes.
Okay. Key people. Some of you are waiting too long. God has shown you your key people. Make a commitment. Repair those relationships. Service them and keep going. Can I get a clap of praise to God? Okay. I need to move on for time. Key moments. Life, I'm telling you the story of my life. How have I got where I am? God gave me these 7 principles years ago. And I've tried to walk by them. Key moments. Life happens in chapters and seasons. Genesis 3:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. God has ordained times and seasons to govern the earth. And it includes summer and winter. It includes day and night. It includes good times and bad times. It includes times when doors close and times when doors open. You cannot surrender your life to a mindset that says there's nothing out there for me. So I'm speaking to somebody here. Your time shall come. And may it be today that we activate some of our times. May this message be a time that activates key moments for some of you. To rise up and cast off despair, cast off grief and mourning, and wake up to a new day. God is a God of new beginnings. God is a God of new seasons. And when key moments come, things you've prayed for, and waited for, faithfully labored, sowing, suddenly break out and harvests begin to come. May that happen for you. Amen. I returned, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, Ecclesiastes 9:11, I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance come to all. Hey, tell your neighbor your time is coming. One of these days. Hey! I'm getting excited on your behalf. Your behalf. Hey, somebody up there. Something is going to happen. God is a God of times and seasons. And he will activate these things in due course. I could tell you stories all day long from my 61 years of life. Okay, I need to speed up here. Time is gone. Key places. Key places. Quick story. My wife and I desperately wanted to buy a house. By the way, did I show them my book? This is the book. It's called Seven Keys. It's on Amazon. This young lady just took it. That's yours. Yeah. We desperately needed to buy a house. Pastor's salary, mission impossible. We had no deposit. My wife was just needing to study afresh. We believed God to buy a house, and it was mission impossible. Until one day, a friend in America said, come and visit America. I said, America, why? Why now? You see, there was no money. He said, buy a ticket and come. I did not know God was calling me to go to a key place. And when you move and locate yourself where God wants you, things that you've been waiting for will suddenly trigger. Jacob goes to a place called Bethel. Do you remember the story of Jacob when Esau says, I'm going to kill you? His brother was angry with him. He stole his birthright. He said, I'm going to kill you. So Jacob is on the run. He puts his head down in a place called Luz, or Luz. And that night, angels appear to him. While he was in his father's house, nothing happened. When he got a passport and began to move around, things began to happen. Some of you are too static. And you need to learn to shift stuff in your life and see what God will do. He goes and puts his head down to sleep on a stone, and heaven opens and God speaks to him. Things that he had never heard before. He had heard of the God of Israel. Now he was encountering him because he dared move. Some of you are going to connect to that Regent's College course, and suddenly things will activate because you've moved to a key place. Yeah, so I flew to America. I had to borrow the money for the ticket. When I arrived, you know, this thing of, I thought when I get to America, I'm going to speak to large crowds, and then they will help me, and I'm going to make connections. I ended up in a congregation with 10 people looking at me. I preached like there were a million of them, and I left the country. But somebody I met there sent a message back, say, we feel God has put it on our heart to send you, what did they send, honey? Was it $10,000? They sent us the deposit we used to buy our house. Now, I'm not saying fly to America to get a deposit for your house. I'm just trying to illustrate my story. And how usually fear tells you to sit down and shut up. And God is telling you, get up and make a move. Yes. Hey! Yes. Key places. Key places. And key places can be where you sit in church. I don't know who you are sitting next to, but who knows? God said to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, because I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. If you go anywhere else, you will die of starvation. God has moments designed for us in key places. Number five, I'm hurrying on here. Key insights. Key insights. Things that come to your mind suddenly and change your life. I told a story of, in the book, it's there, the story of how I had a fungal disease from my teenage years, and I used every medication possible to dislodge it. It will sort of go down and come back up, bigger, stronger, year after year after year after year. Even when we came here to the United Kingdom, tried all kinds of things, went to doctor, the things they gave me just didn't work. And I prayed and I fasted. I said, God, this thing, this condition has to go. It was all over, virtually most of my upper body. And then my doctor referred me to a doctor called Mackenzie. Dr. Mackenzie, an elderly little guy, was about to retire. And I went to his clinic, and when he saw me, he said, take off your shirt. He was delighted. You know, he had never seen such a farm as I was growing. He switched on a particular light, and my God, everything on me stood out. And he was so excited. He ran, he said, can I call my colleague? He called his friends, he said, do you know what this is? He asked them. The guy said, no. The guy tried to guess what it was. I told him, this is pityriasis versicola. It is a yeast. I was growing a yeast farm on my body. It's a yeast. It says it's naturally occurring on most skins, but your skin somehow works with it in such a way that it's thriving. He gave me a shampoo to put on and just sleep. It smelled like crazy. I don't know how my wife coped those few days. But guys, after 3 days, everything was gone up to today. May God give you the name of the problem that is holding you back. This year, you need key insights that unlock your destiny. Some of them you'll find in humble books like this book or an article online. Be a learner. Key insights, my friend, they change your marriage, they change your parenting, they change your business, they change your ministry. Key insights. Remain information hungry the rest of your life. Ask God, open my eyes that I may find out what I need for the transformation of my journey and the reaching of my destination. Somebody shout key insights.
Key insights.
Okay, key battles. Key battles. And I don't need to be a prophet to know that some of you are right now facing the battle of your life. That things have suddenly gone wrong. And one such day in 1 Samuel 17:45 is the battle of Goliath of Gath. When Goliath of Gath, that giant, stands in the valley of Elah and he defines a battle. He doesn't want screaming armies. He said, no, I want one Israelite to come out and fight me here. And if you win, we serve you. If we win, you serve us. Everybody was scared until the little boy comes. And somehow David discerns this is his battle. This is his battle. And some of you, Satan has clearly named out a certain battle, and it's your battle. No prayer warrior will help you. You cannot delegate this. It's your battle, and it's for your glory, not your demise. Most of us, as we go through the battles of life, fear, I'm going to die. No, you are not going to die. You're going to stand up and fight. Fight for your marriage, fight for your future, fight for your career, fight for your church, fight for your children. Am I talking to anybody here?
Yeah.
The Bible calls us soldiers. Yes, we are sheep, but we are also soldiers. Key battles. I'll tell you stories of how the devil has tried to kill us over the years. But every time it results in medals and commendations by God.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Can I hear an amen from God's people?
Amen.
You are not going to die. And I don't know who's fighting what today. This battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. God is a man of war. And he goes ahead of us. He never leaves us to fight on our own. Fight for your life. Fight for your future. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your church. Fight for your children. Fight for your city. Yes. Hey, I am a warrior right now. I may look nice in the lights, but you need to know what happens when stuff comes my way. It's not for cameras. Tell you stories. My wife and I were told to leave this country 1 year after we had planted the church, 1992. Leave the country. The letter came from Her Majesty's government. Visa problems. Katie was trying to change our visas from student to minister of religion. Everything went wrong. We were told, leave the country 28 days. Go! Have you ever played Monopoly? Where you flick that card and it says, go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. It was that kind of situation. How many understand that time when nobody, now everybody says you made a mistake or you are not praying enough, the devil is trying to kill you, and you are left in a place like Jacob wrestled with God all night and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Some of you need to declare that battle today. You're going to fight for what belongs to you. Fight for your future. Fight for your destiny. We are not releasing you to die. You must stay here and help us. Amen. Grab your neighbor, shake them, tell them you are not going to die. You're going to live. Better stay with us. We have work to do. We have a city to take. I told the Lord, I'm 61. I feel 25. I'm still here. I'm ready to reinvent myself. I'm ready to reconstitute myself. Too much work to do. We are not going to die. We're not going to pack and get into depression and confusion. Anyone with me today? Key battles have got to be fought. Katie must fight her key battles. Lincoln must fight his key battles. LCF must fight her key battles. That story ended with us leaving the country. And it took us 4 years sleeping on the floor in Sweden, fighting. How much did I say? 4 months it took us, fighting the Home Office, fighting the embassy. Everybody said, your case is impossible. But God had sent me a prophet at university and said, I will take you out of this country and I'll take you to another land. I'll raise you up there in leadership for the work that I've ordained to do in that country to bring awakening and revival. I carried that prophetic word in my spirit, and now here I was being deported. Where? How? How? Do I have any warriors in the house? Yeah. The devil is a liar. He's trying to deport you out of your own life, out of your own marriage. I refuse on your behalf in Jesus' name. After 4 months of trying to get us out, and we are praying every night like crazy men, it is there, my friends, that the spirit of my life was changed. Before, I used to stand in one place to preach. This loud guy you are seeing was born in Sweden, on the floor, fighting to get back to the United Kingdom. What starts as a key battle becomes an enthronement. That God puts David onto the throne of Israel. And he becomes, there's a whole new culture of warfare that breaks out. Mighty men begin to emerge. They kill giants left, right, and center. Somebody just jumped into a snowy pit to take on a lion. Another one stood in a field single-handed and killed 300 men. A spirit of might was born out of battle confrontation. May God make you a warrior. Amen. In your family. May you fight for the kingdom of God and see his glory revealed in your world. I must stop. Key choices is the final one. Key choices. Decisions. You have a conference with yourself and make a decision. And say, I will not do this. I will not have this. I'm going to have this instead. By faith, Hebrews 11, 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused. Somebody say, I refuse. A decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasures of Egypt. Key choices. Dramatic. Sometimes they look like self-destructive choices. When Moses wakes up and says, I am an Israelite. What are you doing, Moses? You are a prince of Egypt. Shut up. Enjoy the wealth. But you see, destiny calls. I don't know whether you're hearing me, Kensington Temple. Destiny calls, KT. Amen. Destiny calls. We've got to make dangerous decisions. And it's not about us. It's about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He must be glorified in everything that we do, in everything that we face. He must be exalted. He must have supremacy in all that we do. Moses decides, I'm out of here. I can't continue to play this game. I must stand up to the true person that I am. I am an Israelite. It cost him everything. He ends up a shepherd in the wilderness, following after sheep 40 years, and God is silent. But thank God that he did. Because out of that key choice, deliverance comes to the people of God. And salvation breaks out. And my God, did you know that they say almost 40% of the miracles of the Bible are in the time of Exodus? Because a man made a key choice. Somebody say key choices. Now ask your neighbor, what decisions do you need to make today, 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 today? What decisions? Some of you have got to delete some numbers out of your phone. Go into your phone and delete some people. They are distracting you and leading you astray. Yeah. Let me bring it home. Some of you have got to get married. As in, well, what can a woman do? She can only wait. Some of you guys are taking too long. Get married. Propose to that girl. I'm preaching now like an African man. But most important, can we all give Jesus a chance to take our lives and transform them into something of purpose?